100% chance of higher interest rates today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Later this morning, the payroll firm ADP will release its internal count of the net number of people on American payrolls, and it's expected to reflect a strong market for new hires. Forecasters are expecting 400,000 more people working in April compared to March. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
ADP's report comes ahead of the government's more comprehensive jobs report due out Friday, and analysts expect the nation's overall jobs picture to remain relatively steady. It has seen a strong pace of job creation combined with not enough workers to fill all those jobs. Yesterday, we learned that the number of job openings in the country hit a new record high in March, and a record number of workers, 4.5 million of them, quit their jobs, often in search of better paying ones. Wages rose last quarter at their fastest pace in 3 decades, according to the Labor Department, which also says that in more than 100 metro areas in the U.S., unemployment rates are currently less than 3%. The national average is about 3.5%. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We're waiting for U.S. central bankers to brief on interest rates, stimulus, and inflation just over 7 hours from now. The betting is rates will go up 0.5 percentage point today. The Fed is also poised to wind down the bond buying it had done as stimulus. Will the fight against inflation ultimately tip us into recession, perhaps early next year? Well, Wall Street forecasters are divided on this question. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3 to 4/10 of a percent range. Is the 10-year interest rate above 3%? No, not quite. 2.96% now. All right, let's check another vital sign of our economic health. With the government's jobs report due out Friday, let's talk about part of what the national averages don't capture. Joining us now is Dr. Alex Kammerdell, Director of Workforce Policy at the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right. When we see these headlines, I don't know what's going to say late this week, but it might be that unemployment is what looks like a very low 3.6%. That's not for everyone.
That's right. The narrative that the economy is doing well, that we've rebounded, that folks are recovering, is one that gives us pause, because when we look at some of the disaggregated dynamics of the labor market in terms of race, ethnicity, gender, we recognize that not everybody is doing so well.
And then you talk about, okay, it's one thing to have a job, but it's another thing when you have to have two or three of those jobs to make ends meet. That's a question about, I guess, what you call job quality.
Exactly. For folks who entered into the pandemic in those kind of high risk, low reward jobs in retail and hospitality, you know, they've had to endure through the pandemic, you know, long hours, low pay, unpredictable schedules, etc. So this notion of high risk, low reward work is something that needs a lot more attention, because in the work that we are in, we know that workers of color are disproportionately represented in those occupations.
But all these employers keep talking about this tight labor market. That's got to help with some of the stuff that you're very focused on, right? I mean, it will drive up wages. We've seen some of that. Do you see this tight labor market reversing some of these trends?
So we have seen some, I guess I would say, silver lining in this idea of a tight labor market, right? So in recent months, we've been able to track some modest wage growth in the lower wage occupations. I would say, too, you know, one indicator of a tight labor market would be full employment. We're particularly interested in seeing full employment for all workers, in particular Black workers who have disproportionately been left out of the labor market, who have unemployment rates that are continuing to be 2 times higher than they are for white workers. So if we had tight labor markets, we would see Black workers involved or included in this full employment scenario. And that's not been the case.
Taking today's Economic Pulse, views on the economy from a variety of perspectives, Alexander Kammerdell is Director of Workforce Policy at the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies. Dr. Kammerdell, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This week, two more spots in China went into COVID lockdown, and the capital, Beijing, seems close. Meanwhile, Shanghai, the financial and manufacturing center, is in its fifth week of a strict lockdown. Getting food and daily supplies has become easier, but hardship abounds. Here's Marketplace's lockdown China correspondent Jennifer Pak, still at home in Shanghai.
My household began the week with enough meat, finally. But now we're low on vegetables. The collapse of the logistics system in Shanghai's lockdown has sent people in other Chinese cities to panic buy whenever a new COVID-19 case pops up. Shanghai officials say restrictions have been lifted in certain areas, including mine, except our building supervisor will only allow us to walk to the parking lot. Companies who have government approval to resume operations say not many employees are eligible to get back to work. And while government media claims up to 70% of Shanghai supermarkets are open, selection is limited. One grocery store nearby has been offering lawn chairs and not much else. The best way to get food is through bulk buying, organized by neighbors, though this is expensive and in quantities I'd never bought in, like 9 pounds of beef. Recent meals include barbecued beef, beef stir-fry, beef fried rice, beef stew, and cottage pie. Next challenge, what to do with a case of grape tomatoes. In Shanghai, on day 34 of the lockdown, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Jennifer gave a friend some grapes, and her Instagram has a picture of the two carrots and a potato her pal insisted on giving her back in return. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.